This chapter 30, we're going to read our foundational text here, Exodus chapter, 30, verse 22, and give me a moment to get my technology right. Yeah, Exodus 30 and 22, and I'm growing on this technology, amen. I think I am anyway, amen. I don't know which way I'm growing, but I'm growing, amen. Technology can be a trip. All right. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 22. We're going to read a lengthy portion of this. We're going to use these same scriptures as we used last week as we were not able to finish, amen. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. We're going to read down to verse 33, and then we're going to jump over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. In our reading this morning. Reads as follows, Exodus 30 and 22. Media, I'm just going to read from the screens. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing, meaning these are the ingredients for the anointing. An ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Everybody say a holy oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, and they shall that they may minister to me as priests. Verse 31. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. Oh, that's good right there, that the anointing is for generations. I don't believe mama and daddy, everybody's going to be anointed in the family. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it according to its composition. It is holy, and it should be holy to you. Verse 33, whoever compounds any like it, whoever tries to make an anointing, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off from his people. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21, verse. But you have an anointing. Father, we thank you for these words. We ask that you bless them in the hearing of your people. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Let the anointing arise on your people. Give them revelation that they may walk with transformation. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Want to pick back up in our message that we started this series last week called the groundbreaking anointing. Everybody say groundbreaking anointing. In the groundbreaking anointing, as we get into this today, this would be part two. And I know last week, I'll recap just a little bit for just a moment, and we'll try to finish where we left off. We begin to talk about understanding that this year is a groundbreaking year. We understand the foundation that has been set before us, church, that for all of us, I hope you have not forgotten, because again, we seem to easily go back to the old as believers. And I'm doing everything as the Holy Spirit guides me to keep this church locked in on what this year is for us, because I know it's going to be an amazing year. I know it's going to be an incredible year. I believe you're going to go places, see things, touch things, experience things you've never experienced in your life before. I'm glad I got two people who said amen this morning. And I'm believing that as God has revealed to me what this year is and what it can be for us, that groundbreaking is when you experience things you've never experienced for, levels you've never been to before. I'm talking miracles are going to come. I'm talking tax bracket change for your life. I'm talking families being restored. I'm talking about generational things that mama and daddy couldn't do. Daddy and mama couldn't own a house, but you're going to own a house. Come on, somebody. Mama and daddy tried to get a business off the ground, but nobody could get a business off the ground. This is the year that you are going to groundbreak, experience, pioneer, be innovative, do what people that you around you have never done before. And as we get into that, that's what this year is. This is a groundbreaking theme that God wants to do. And as we understand that, it is important, first and foremost, that you understand that's what God wants to do in this house. And let me tell you something. And I know that sometimes we as believers, I believe the challenge for many of us is that, you know, we hear somebody tell us what God wants to do in a new year, and then we get high. And then a few weeks, months later, we just go back to a regular norm. Now, it's really your responsibility to hold on to the word. I can't hold on to it for you. Come on, somebody. Everybody, when God gives you something, you got to hang on to it for yourself. And my job is to keep preaching to you, not where you're at all the time. Stay with me, but I got to preach you to where God's trying to take you. See, there's different types of preaching. There's preaching where you got to preach people where they are. And then there's times you got to preach to people where they're not. See, where you are, sometimes you need to preach people where they are, because they need to know God knows where I'm at. They need to know God feels me. God has not left me. This word was for me where I am. And then there's times you got to preach to people and they say, I have no idea. I've never seen or heard that before. Because what happens is, stay with me, it's almost like this in football. Let me use this analogy real quick. In football, you ever see this thing called the wide receiver? If you don't know what that is, ask the nearest football or man round about you. Amen. And some of the men need to ask some of these ladies up in here. Come on, somebody. Because a receiver, when he breaks the huddle, that's the guy way on the end out there. When he goes, watch what happens. He has a route that he needs to run. And what happens is when the quarterback drops back in the pocket, he takes that snap, he drops back. He does not typically always throw it to where the receiver's at. He looks this way if he's Dak Prescott, he looks this way really well. And he gets everybody to go that way. And then he turns and he throws it here while the receiver is still running, but he's not there yet. He's on his way to a spot. Someone stay with me. He doesn't throw to where he is. He throws the ball there while he's still trying to get there. And see, this is what God does, because he's pulling you ahead. And so I can't always preach you where you're at. I got to preach you to where God is trying to get you to go. Come on, somebody. And we've got to understand. You say, Pastor, I haven't experienced that. That's because God has it divinely in your route this year for you to be groundbreaking, for you to be financially over in overflow. So when you say, I haven't experienced overflow, just know I'm throwing you a timing pattern from heaven. God has set you up to be in overflow by June this year, and I need to put everything in you. God help me. I need to preach you where you're going and not where you're at, because God is pulling you. Somebody say, God is pulling me. And so this is a groundbreaking year. Things are still, there's so many testimonies that are still coming in. Let me read you one of these so you don't lose focus of what God's doing. I got this social media was sent to me by our media team, and it's on social media. So Janet Young sent this in. Let me address that, because I don't want you to forget what God is doing this year. I got so many of these I can read, but this was this week. Somebody say this week. It says, look, she was sharing this story. Let me read it to you to encourage somebody. See, in mid-December 2019, my son laid on the floor of his apartment for 2 days before I found him unconscious. 2 days he was in his house unconscious. He spent 30 days in the hospital. 10 of those days were in ICU. He also lost functions of his kidneys. From the hospital, he went to a rehabilitation center, and 3 days a week, I picked him up and took him to dialysis. On January 31st, he walked out of the rehab center with little help of a walker. Somebody say, thank God for that. Watch what happens. The day I put a note on our prayer board at RLM, at that wall back there, asking God to bless him, watch the word, with restored functions of his kidneys. And on Monday, February the 3rd, I took him to dialysis. And I received a text to pick him up at 5:30 instead of 7. I picked him up, and he could only cry and praise God. They said his kidney functions, his kidneys were functioning, and he didn't need a four-hour dialysis run. Okay, y'all might get this in a minute. This was in February. This is not in January. Come on, somebody. Watch this. It gets better. They ran tests, and on Wednesday, he was told not to come for dialysis. And on Friday, February 7th, which was a week ago, they ran another test and told him he didn't even need dialysis. Today, they're working on getting him scheduled to remove the access port from his chest because God has blessed him with functioning kidneys and dialysis no longer necessary. We serve an awesome God. Prayer and fasting, come on, somebody, change this thing. Thank you, God, Pastor Brian Meyer. Come on, somebody, this is a groundbreaking year. This is a year where I remember on December 31st saying that God will create things in order to get you healed. You will experience what you should not experience. Somebody that was left to die for 2 days is now beginning to see a groundbreaking experience. Mama put a note to heaven on our prayer wall, and last week God said he don't even need dialysis no more. You will see what you've never seen before, experience what you've never experienced before. And I got some good news, and if God can do it for one person, he can do it for everybody. He is no respecter of persons. Every kidney under the sound of this ministry shall be healed. Somebody say it's a groundbreaking year. This is what I'm talking. Sit down. Don't get me happy right now. Sit down. Because I need you to get this. This is what we're going to see all year long. I remember saying, God, I remember sharing with you what God showed me. He says, listen, whatever I got to do to get people healed, if I got to do things people have never seen before. She said, I was told to come back at 5:30 instead of 7 because it was no longer even needed. Come on. And it begins to be a progression from not 7 to 5 and not from 5 to not 4 hours and not 4 hours. You don't even need to come back no more. And sometimes God is going to be progressive with you this year. You just got, I don't know what step you're in, but your groundbreaking is coming. Progression is coming. You just got the job. That's one step. Come on. Next time you're going to just get a promotion. That's one step. And after the promotion, you're going to get another promotion. That's another step. And then after that promotion, you might be owning the company. I'm believing God for a progression of groundbreaking this year. Maybe you got a phone call from a wayward child. It started with a phone call. Now I just want to meet and have lunch with you. And after meeting and have lunch with you, I want to come back home. And after I come back home, I want to go worship with you. This is going to be a progressive and a groundbreaking year. I don't know who God is talking to, but somebody shout hallelujah. Here it is. This is not just January, this is all year long, groundbreaking. Experiencing things you've never experienced before. Seeing God do things that we've never seen him do. And I need you to understand what that means, though. This is why this message about the anointing is so important, is because we know this is what God wants to do. But I need you to understand it's deeper than that. There is an anointing on us for it to happen. You got to understand. When an anointing, we talked about it last week, is that anointing is something that is, and remember, there's levels to the anointing. We talked about it last week. There's levels to this thing. Someone say there's levels to this thing. The anointing, when it comes on you, the anointing, when you understand what it is, it literally means to be smeared or rubbed, wrapped in. And every person in this place who's given their life to Christ, you have an anointing on your life. You have an anointing. I don't care, black, white, young, seasoned, ugly, cute, handsome, whatever. Every person that gives their life to Christ, you have an anointing on your life. Give me 1 John 2, and I believe it's 20. I need everybody to get this, and I'm going to lay the foundation where I was last week. If you could put that up there for us, 1 John. It says, but you have an anointing. Now, I need you to understand, and it's from the Holy One. Catch where it's from. Meaning it's from the Holy Spirit. Every man, somebody say, I'm anointed. This part, I don't know why, the Lord said, drill this in that everybody needs to understand. Does not matter your background, your backdrop, what you've been through, what you've done, how you did it, when you did it, you are anointed in this place. I need everybody to get that before we move forward. That you have an anointing on your life. I don't care if you've been saved and you don't understand scripture, you have an anointing on your life. That anointing means something has been smeared and rubbed and is on your life. And there's different levels of anointings. Anointings come in different ways. There is a generic anointing we all get with salvation. There's anointings to destroy the power of the devil on everybody's life right now. That's part of that generic anointing. We all get that at salvation. And then there's an anointing that becomes specific and tailor-made to each and every one of us. We all have that generic one. And then there's some when God looked at your life and he said, Alistair White, here is your anointing. It is tailor-made to his life. And there's something that is supernaturally connected to his life. And then there's times God will do a corporate anointing, which is where we are, where God says, for this house, not for everybody else that's declaring something else in their house, but in their church, but for this house, God said, I am putting a supernatural groundbreaking anointing on the people. And that anointing, there's different levels of the anointing. And then we begin to last week understand the purpose of even the anointing oil. And how the anointing oil, somebody say there's levels to this thing. And so when we begin to see, as we learned even about the anointing oil and the purpose of why we anoint people and all those things, it's not to make anybody holy. We learned that. We learned that the anointing oil, that God still honors the oil. And what that oil does, it does has one purpose, is to make earth and heaven in agreement. Now, I preached that last week, you get the CD, but I need you to understand there's levels to this thing. And there's specific anointings. Everybody say specific. And this is where we're going. We saw this last week. Give me a few minutes to lay this foundation again, then we're going to push and get up out of here. We saw that there's specific anointings for every single person. We saw in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1. Put that up there for us. Let me teach for a minute before we shout. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. If you can put that up there for us, and I need you to see it. Now the Lord says to Samuel the prophet, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected Saul from reigning over Israel? Let me touch on this, and I'm going to touch on this in weeks to pass. Saul was anointed to be king. What you need to understand about the anointing is you can lose your anointing. I'll get that in a few weeks, but I need you to catch this. That anointing we're talking about that's on you, you can lose the anointing. You never lose your gift, but you lose the anointing. God help me. He says, I have rejected him, meaning I've taken the anointing off him. He still has the gift to be king, but he does not have the anointing to be king. And those are two different things. Because we as the church, let me slow down, because I feel the Holy Spirit about to push me through a wall right now. Watch this right here. Let me say the course. I'm a double back to it. Watch this. I need you to catch this. Because what I need you to see is he says, seeing I've rejected him over Israel, fill your horn with oil. He says, because in the Old Testament, the oil is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And when people were anointed, they had to put, they didn't just dab you like I did the little baby. They would pour oil all over you. I mean, you got it all. I mean, you can't even open your eyes up. He would fill a horn up with oil, and that oil, watch, he says, and go, I'm sending you to Jesse Ben, for I have provided myself a king. That oil was an anointing oil that whoever he put it on would be, it was an anointing for a king. It was a specific oil that was specific to a king. Now, fast forward to verse 13, if you can. In verse 13, he shows us here in verse 13, he says, now, 13, you can throw it up there, fast forward to verse 13. 13, please. Verse 13, same chapter, verse 13. And when we see that he puts the oil on him, and David has the oil on him, and so Sam took the horn of oil and anointed him. Watch this. So now the oil is on him, he's anointed. The gift, God said he has a gift to be king, but I need the anointing on him. So now the oil is on him, and the Bible says, and anointed him. So when the oil came on, now he's anointed. So now you as a believer, when you get saved, nobody has to pour oil on your head for you to become anointed. The Holy Spirit comes on you, and now your life is anointed. And just like David was specific for a king, many of you have a specific anointing for something. You have a general anointing as a believer, but you have a specific anointing, whether it's for business, whether it's for hair, whether it's for ministry, whether it's for singing, whether it's for teaching with children, working this thing. There's specific things that have come on your life. It's almost like an Old Testament. Someone took a specific oil from when you got saved. God says, this is your anointing. And that anointing matches your gift. And what you need to understand is the purpose for the anointing is when the anointing comes on us, it is to cause the gift in you for you to do that gift with very ease. So you don't have to break your neck to do what God has gifted you to do in the earth. It is to give you an advantage over the people in the world and give you an advantage over the enemy trying to stop you. Because how many of you know when you sign up to be a believer, you got an enemy called the devil. You got demonic forces. You got generational demons. And as soon as you give your life to Christ, they become opposition at every area of your life. And he puts the oil on you because you have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And the gift will never come and go. The gift will always be there. But the anointing can come and go. And what happens is God says, since you have gift, I'm going to give you an anointing with the gift. So when you start working your gift for me, when you give your life to me, you're born with the gift, but when you give your life to me, I'm giving you this thing called the anointing. So when you go into places, that anointing is going to give you favor everywhere you go. Because people are drawn to the anointing. People gravitate to the anointing. The anointing causes doors to open that should not open. The anointing causes for you to go places. You say, how did I get here? It's not because of you or your gift. It's because the anointing on your life. God says, I need to give my people an advantage. And that anointing is so critical to your life as a believer. That's why his dialysis, I really believe, is because when you have someone who's anointed, they can do things and experience things that they should not experience. Heaven showed this to me just last night when I was studying. It's almost like walking into a grocery store. We used to have to open doors, but now you just walk up and the doors is open because that sensor. And God says, that's what the anointing. I was asking God, how do I explain it? Give me clarity. He said, just explain it like walking to a door, and when it sees you, it just opens for you. You don't even have to reach out and work hard. You just walk up and it just happens for you. That's what the anointing does. You don't have to grind and twist and have to work. You just walk up and people say, I don't know why, but this door is open for you. I don't know why, but this door is open for you. It's because there's an anointing on your life. And when you walk into the business arena, why do you think some of you have got promotions and jobs? It's not because you're cute. It's not because of your degree. I hate to bust your bubble. Your degree cannot do what the anointing can do. When you get the anointing on your life, God will elevate you in places you should never be elevated for. I remember working in corporate America. I don't know your story. I'll tell you my story. I remember my wife, my family will tell you, my children will tell you. I got this job. I was the bottom in seniority. 300-something people, 342. I was 341. One girl was different. It was less than me. God took me from the bottom and raised me up in this company. I did not have the degrees. I did not have what it needed. Matter of fact, my wife will tell you, they created a position that never even existed for me to be able to work. And the reason they had to create it, here's how, I'm going to tell you, this is why. Because watch, I remember the thing, they called me to the office. I was like, oh, brother about to get fired. You understand? Like, what did I do? Pulled me into this little room and said, hey, we're getting ready to create a position. Here's how the conversation went. They said, we want you to be in this position. Where you're going to oversee everything, all the workload for all the people. You give it to them. They have to get it done, all the workload. I'm just listening. And they said, your hours are going to be from like 5 in the certain time of year, and then it shifts to summer with daylight saving, whatever. And I said, you know, I got bottom seniority. And you know how it is when you can have what they call that thing, a union. I don't know if they still have them, but back then we had unions. And people could file grievances. And they said, here's what we're going to do. You're no longer going to be occupational, but you also are not going to be management. Because occupation can file a grievance against management, and they also can file a grievance the other way. I said, okay. They said, so we're going to put you in a position that's never existed. I forgot the name of it. They said, but basically, you're neither one of them, so neither one of them can touch you. God help me. Because they realize when we give this to you, you know how people are. They start complaining. What did he do? Who did he sleep with? How did he get there? I've been here for 40 years. He's at the bottom. And they said they can't even file a grievance. Now, if you don't watch it, you'll begin to get big head and think it's about you. But I had to realize this had nothing to do with me. This all had to do with my calling and my gifting working together. And God began to show me how to manage things because he knew years later I'll be managing the kingdom of heaven and dealing with things
things and people in, oh God, and the anointing. And God says, I'm using the anointing to prepare you for your, God help me, your calling. And this is what you got to expect this year. The anointing opens doors and you walk into things you should not walk into. Somebody say it's specific. It's specific. Here's the other thing you got to understand. Is the anointing, God gives it to us because it breaks yokes. The anointing also destroys yokes. And you got to understand, not just to make it easy, but here's why he puts it on your life. As soon as you give your life to Christ, your opposition rises up. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Throw it up there for us real quick. Let me get there. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it talks about how the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Let's flow, media. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. And I need you to see this. When whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of which them, minds of them which believe not. God says, I gave you a gift. Now you're stepping into a world. That's what the Bible says. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Stepping into a world that's run by the devil's systems with a godly gift. That ain't going to work too well. Systems means mindsets. It means principles. It means, it doesn't mean he's like the God of the earth, but his systems and mindsets are in the world. What God does is he says, I've given you as a believer a gift. I've given everybody a gift. And they can use that gift for the world or they can use that gift for the kingdom. Even unsaved people have gifts. They just don't have the anointing. And when you step into the world, he realizes once you give your life to God, the enemy will recognize you're against me. And when you step into corporate America with a godly gift, he'll cause people to rise up against you. But he says, here's how I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to give you an anointing. And when the system tries to stop your gift, I gave you an anointing that they cannot do anything about. And so you can take your gift, and when you flow in your anointing, can't no demonic witch doctor, can't no demonic boss, can't nobody stop what God is doing, because when they come up and try to stop you, the Bible says it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It doesn't break it, it destroys it. God help me, watch this. I got to teach this to you. Isaiah 10:27. Let me make sure you get this. So we understand there's world systems, and you understand he says, watch what he says. In Isaiah, media, flow with me, please. Isaiah 10:27. It says this. I need you to see it for yourself. It talks about how it says the anointing oil that destroys the yoke. And it does not break the yoke. I need you to catch this. As soon as they get it up there, it does not break it. Everybody say it destroys it. Watch what it says. Thank you. It shall come to pass in that day. Watch what he says, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. See, when the anointing's on your life, it does not break anything. It destroys everything. God help me. This is why when you step into corporate America, I don't have time to just keep telling you the story, but I've told it many times. When I worked in that place, the one thing they did not tell me, Lady Brian would tell you, that when I got that position, they also gave it to a lady who believed in crystals and reading hands, and they put us right next to each other. See, I got excited about that part, but when I got in there, they said, oh, you'll be working with this lady right here. And she had rocks and crystals all up in there. And people coming there to my, read my sign, my marriage ain't working, all this stuff. I was like, oh, Lord, you didn't tell me about this. You didn't tell your boy about this part. It's honest to truth. Her name was Dawn. And so people would come, and there was a vibe when I walked in that place. I would get headaches from that stuff. And then I remember I used to tell Lay Brian, I was like, I cannot. I said, it was so demonic and I used to, God, why did you put me in there? And she and I were heading everything, and God says, son, don't you understand? This is why I put you there. Because when you step in there, it's the anointing that breaks her yoke that she has in this department. And so I had to raise you up so you can change the atmosphere. God, help me right now. So people would line. I used to watch it. People would line up late. It was always ladies coming in there. Oh, can you tell me about my family and this? And did you hear from them after they died? It was that type of vibe. And then September 11th happened. We were sitting on the 16th floor. God help me, watch God. September 11th happened, everybody freaked out. They all knew I went to church. They knew I loved the Lord. They knew all that stuff. And that same line that used to come to her, God help me,
They all came over here saying, can you pray for us? Because everybody knew buildings were falling down. Come on, somebody.
And watch how God shifted everything. That's why the Bible says all things work together for the good. Because when the rubber meets the road, don't nobody want no witch doctor. They're drawn to the anointing.
That stuff will make you feel good. But when you need some assurance, you go to the anointing. It changed everything up. It changed everything up. But they had planes because when the military would fly them planes, everybody was getting down. Come on, somebody. But they wanted your boy to pray. Next thing I know, I'm holding prayer. About 40 of us in there praying. And that's how God begins to destroy the yoke. And even the witch doctor said, let me get in on this prayer. Ask Lady Bryant. And she started to pray with us. Come on. And God began to change the atmosphere. And when I thought he was raising me up for me, he was raising me up for him to break the anointing and the world system. Systems in a corporate place. Somebody shout hallelujah. So the anointing is on your life. Somebody touch somebody, say, I'm anointed. 1 John 2:18. Because so he does not give it to you just to make your gift is easy, but he sends you into places because he needs you to break the yokes. He needs you to destroy the yokes. Media 1 John 2:18, please. He needs you to destroy the anointing. That's why God wants to raise some of you up. You quit trying to just do everything. Be here at church. Come on. Somebody say, be here at church. But understand, you're called to go places in the world. Take that anointing and go with it. Go to the music industry. Go to the sports world. Come on, somebody. Go into the media entertainment. Go into the schools. Somebody, God is sending you places, and he's going to raise you up because your anointing will destroy the world's systems from the God of this world. That's what it is. It's a fight because watch what he says, little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have come. I taught you this last week, the word Jesus Christ, Christ just simply means the anointed one. That's all Christ means, the anointed one. He's Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus says, I was anointed to go around healing and dealing with the oppressed. Christ just simply means the anointed one. And so when we hear about Antichrist, that just means something that's anti the anointing. And so you have the anointing on your life. And God says when you step and the devil sees you, you got to understand the devil sees you coming. We act like you're nobody. You got to know you somebody. Every time you step and you begin to really realize I'm anointed, he sees you coming a mile away. That's why it's called the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the spirit that's in the world. It's anti the anointing. It's anti the anointed one. You are the anointed one. Every one of us are. I don't care if you were a crackhead, you were in jail, you did 10 to 20. It doesn't matter. If you've given your life to Christ, you are anointed. And when the Antichrist sees you, he tries to oppose you. But you got to remember, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. It breaks it. It is no longer able to hold you down. That's why I tell people, can't nothing hold you down? Come on. There's no addiction that can hold you down. There's no perversion that can hold you down. Poverty can't even keep you. God says when the anointing's on your life, it will destroy the yoke, not break it, because if it breaks it, you can put broke things back together. Come on, somebody. Because when I was broke, we couldn't buy new stuff, so we used to put couches back together. That would break. Get some good glue. Put it back together. Because anything broke, you can put back together. But God says, I'm not letting the yoke come back together. You will destroy the yoke. Watch the Bible. You can't even put it back on your life. You can't even put it on your children. Because when mama destroys it and daddy destroys it, no more generational curses. Because the anointing is a generational thing. Somebody's got to destroy the yoke in your family so the devil can't put it back on your children. Somebody shout hallelujah. Watch this, I gotta push. I'm almost done. Because I need you to catch this. The anointing is a game changer. That's why David said, you ever wonder how David beat Goliath? You ever read that story? And just, I know it sounds good to preach, but you ever wonder how he took a rock, like the size of my phone, and just whooped the giant with it? I mean, if you really think about it, it sounds good when it's preached real well. But, bro, you took a rock. And if you were here when I taught on giants, where they came from, why they exist, and why they were real, we understand Goliath was almost half as tall as that pole right there. How did you take that little rock and beat him? I mean, it don't even make biblical sense. See, people don't want to question God like that. But you be thinking it. Like, he hit him with a rock for real. I know y'all be thinking it like, it sounds good, preach. But if you stop and think, like, that don't make no sense. Because that rock was, like, this big. And that joker was, like, 16 feet tall when you study it out. Because they, anyway, they, so we understand this, you know, when giants came. They were, but here's what happened. It wasn't that it was the rock. Remember, we read David was anointed. It had nothing to do with the rock. Anybody else could have threw that rock, and he would have just ate that rock up. He just grabbed it, threw it back. But what you need to understand, the anointing is a game changer. That's why Saul said, hey, listen, come here, young fella. He said, hey, take my shield and my sword and go fight him. David, God is like, because he's like, listen, you need something to take down that giant. David said, no, I'm good. Holy Spirit told him, no, that ain't for you. David says, look, I got a rock. I know them soldiers like, you got a rock. They was like, this boy about to get killed. They was like, he about to get killed. Come on, man. They send him out with a rock. And he goes out there with this little rock against this big joker. And they like, he about to just get killed. And he goes out there. And what happens is people don't know he's anointed. And you got to understand, it's not the rock. It was the anointing in the rock in the hands of someone who's anointed. What am I trying to teach you? It's not that you got to have a lot of anything or big anything. When you're anointed, God takes the little bit you have, and it's more than when people have big stuff to kill giants in your life. I don't know who I'm preaching to. You don't need a whole lot to start the business. You don't need a big credit score to start the business. You can have the lowest credit score, but when you walk in, God will give you, got the anointing on your life, and he could take a 620 and give you something that a 750 can't even buy with favor on your life. It's because the anointing on you changes everything. It's a game changer. It's not that David hit him with a rock. He was anointed. That's why I say, give me a little something, because sometimes a little something is bigger than a big something. As long as the little something got the anointing, God can do more with a little than he can a lot. And people are also, they're drawn to the lot, but baby, a lot don't always have the anointing. I need the anointing up in my life. See, that's why people always trying to run and do this, and you should. I told you, I believe in degrees. I believe in school. But listen, sometimes God calls you when you ain't got that stuff in order. And baby, if he calls you, you just go with it, because an anointed man can do more than a degree man when you got the anointing on your life. The anointing is a game changer. And let me clarify. I said this before. I believe. Please go get some education. Come on, somebody. But don't make that be your divining, your dividing line of whether you do something for God or not. Because if he calls you in that moment, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have that, and I need this. I just got a little bit of money. He didn't ask David to have a lot of anything. When it's on you and in you, God takes the little bit, and he can do a lot with your little bit. Because when it's anointed, it's supernatural. Your $5 can do more than some people's $500. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because when you're anointed, God will figure out how to stretch it. Come on. God will figure out why they trying to, listen, God, you can get more for your bang for your buck with five than you can with 500 when you're anointed. That's why I tell you, it's the anointing is a game changer. When God is, when you're, that's why when you fight battles, fight anointed battles. Come on. Don't fight battles where there's an, I fight anointed battles. When the anointing comes up, I'll tell anybody anything. When it's a battle, I got to fight it under God's anointing. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll fight you in the natural if I got to, but I'm just saying, if I got to save my life, I ain't waiting on anointing, I'm going to take you out, amen, I'm just saying. But I prefer to fight my battles under the anointing, because it's a, somebody say it's a game changer. Here's what we got to, here it is, I got to get through. So last week, we began to look at, and this is where it's important for the church to begin to understand. The church has got to begin to understand there's a difference between giftings and anointings. People are drawn, the church starts looking at gifts, but we got to begin to train our spirit to yearn the anointing, not gift. Everybody has a gift, but not everybody has anointing. And I believe the church is so used to systems that we no longer can tell anointing from gift. And I love mega churches. We're on our way there. Come on, somebody. If you ain't happy for us going, you might want to get off right now, because that's where we're going. And when we get there, we're going to keep the same spirit, though. Come on, we ain't changing. We're going to love people. We're going to stay real. Because I know a lot of Indian babe change, and I want small church. Small church ain't here, baby. Come on, I'm already preaching to thousands. When I'm looking to stay. Come on. Because God has called us to touch many with what we got. So I need you to catch this. I need you to understand this, because the church has got to understand many people are drawn to gifts, but they're not drawn to the anointing. You want to be, in everything you do, connected to the anointing. In 2 Chronicles 12 and 10, I'll just give you this part of the scripture. In 2 Chronicles 12 and 10, there's a story where you see these shields were stolen, and they were gold shields. And they were gold shields, and they were stolen. And, if you could put that up there for me, media, please. And 2 Chronicles 12, 10. And when they were stolen, the gold shields, the man didn't want everybody to know they were stolen. And the gold shields were stolen. So here's what he did. In the story, he began to take the gold shields, put them away, because they were stolen, he replaced them with bronze shields. And watch what he says here. What did I give you? 2 Chronicles 12 and 10? Let me see right here. 2 Chronicles. Yeah, then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. And so the man of God, what he did, when the gold were stolen, watch what he did. He said, I don't want anybody to know the gold's stolen. It's a big difference between a bronze and gold shield. Stay with me. And what he did was, the bronze can almost look like gold when you're not close to it. And what he did was, he put the bronze in place. He said, I don't want them to know, the people to know that the gold was missing, because they would lose hope. So he says, put some bronze up. He said, make some bronze shields and put it in their place, meaning the place of the gold ones that were stolen, and commit them to the hands of the captains and guards who guard the doorway. He says, put it up and then put some people around it to guard it. So when the sun would hit it, it would reflect and people would think it's the same thing. And church, I really believe that's what's happening in the church. You have some bronze anointing that people are drawn to with mega churches. And they got people around trying to make it look like, come on, that it's the real thing. And the church is falling for bronze anointing. And God is not calling us to have bronze anointing. He's called us to true and pure gold anointing that's been tried by the fire. Because gold is the only thing that can be tried by the fire and survive. And we need preachers and teachers of the world who's been through the fire, who's been through something with a real anointing on their life. Don't give me somebody who ain't been through nothing preaching to me. I need somebody who has a gold anointing, and the church needs to recognize the bronze from the gold. We've been so gifted in this, and everybody's running. People chase names, and they chase talents, and they chase gifts, but they don't chase anointings. People are right now in church as full just because they got good systems. Everybody has a gift. Gifts will work. But I need a gift with an anointing. Touch your neighbor and say, you need the gold. Watch this right here. Let me preach. So here it is. So last week we began to talk on the anointing. I gave you a couple of things about the anointing. The first thing I gave us last week, let me get us there. The first thing I gave us last week is understand about the anointing. Everybody wants the anointing, or you should desire for that anointing to work in your life. And I gave you last week, here's the one thing you got to remember. My first point was simply this, that man cannot create the anointing. We learned in Exodus, I'm not recapping it, we learned in Exodus that Moses, he was able to go gather all the ingredients, but he had to take it to the perfumer. Man cannot create anointings. I cannot give you an anointing. I can pray and stir up what's in you, but I cannot give you anything. Man cannot get, and you have to understand that. We talked about that last week, because that gives you a great confidence to know if man cannot give it to me, he can only confirm what God has already put in me. So you don't have to wait for man to acknowledge you before you go follow what God has for your life. Because sometimes man can't recognize your anointing when only God is. Come on, somebody. And if somebody's insecure, they can hold you back. They won't let you go when God says you're anointed now to do it. But if you got an insecure somebody with a bronze anointing, they don't want your gold anointing to go forth because they got insecurities inside of them. No man can give you an anointing. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Here's the second part, and this is where we left off, and we started trailing on the anointing, on the oil. But here it is. And the second point I gave us, and here's what I want to finish up with, is it's specific to a person. I need you to get this. The anointing is tailor-made. I said it earlier, but I got to drive it. It's tailor-made to a person. As I said earlier, everybody has a corporate anointing in this house, groundbreaking anointing. Everybody has a generic Christian anointing to deal with the yokes of the enemy and to do your gift. And then there's specific anointings that are tailor-made to just your life. There's some things that are just for you. Somebody say, just for me. And watch what it says here in verse 30. Give me verse 30 in Exodus. Give me verse 30 over in Exodus. And I need you to catch this, and you need to understand how specific the anointing is. And I need to lay this foundation that we're careful with understanding a tailor-made anointing. Watch what he says here in verse 30. He says, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons. Now, what's amazing is this, is he says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons. But now fast forward to verse 32. Watch what he says, and it shall not be poured on a man's flesh. Problem, hold on. You just said in verse 30, do not pour it or anoint Aaron and his sons. Verse 32, it shall not be poured on a man's flesh. This is why God gives you shepherds to help you break down. What that translation is in the Hebrew in verse 30, it's not that it should not be poured on man's flesh. It should not be poured on just any man's flesh. And what he says here is he's saying here, when it says Aaron and his sons should be, that means it specifically anoint them in their office. And when it says not be poured on a man's flesh, it's talking about any man. Because the anointing that was being made, it was a tailor-made anointing. And so, and this is important because watch what he goes on and says. And then he goes on to say, give me verse 33. And if verse 33, whoever compounds any like it, watch what he says, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider shall be cut off. He says, listen, whoever tries to make an anointing, whoever compounds anything like this here, he says, cut them off. He says, if anybody tries to create their own anointing, cut them off from me. Whoever puts any on an outsider, meaning whoever that anointing is not for, don't let somebody try to walk in something that they're not anointed for. Because if you try to walk in something that you're not anointed from, then God says, I got to cut you off from the blessings. This is how specific God is, because God understands that it is a dangerous thing to try to walk under somebody else's anointing. Because the anointing, remember, it makes what people do look so easy. And it's drawing people to it, whether it's business and you hang around a bunch of business people who are anointed. All of a sudden, you're like, man, I can do that. I feel like I can do that. They did that. They're dumb as bricks. They don't have no degrees. How did they do that? And all of a sudden, you're trying to start a business, but you don't realize they have a business anointing. And now you're doing something. It's not that you're called to it. You're just drawn to them and their anointing. And this happens with pastoring a lot. People begin to see someone and they begin to think, I can do that. That looks so easy, man. That looks fun right there. But what they don't realize is the person God uses is dumb as two bricks on the sidewalk, but it's the anointing making them look like it's easy. And in reality, they have no idea what they're doing. I can do that. I got this. I've done that before. And what we've got to understand, church, it is imperative that you stay with your own anointing. It is imperative that you don't covet somebody else's anointing. It is imperative that you walk in what God has for your life, because when you try to walk in something, it'll be grand opening, like Chris Rock said, and grand closing, and it may cost you more trying to do something that you're not anointed to do. Walking in somebody else's anointings can destroy you and your family. I'm trying to help you right now. It will literally destroy people trying to walk in somebody else's anointing. It is, watch what he says, it is tailor-made. It is specific to the situation. Watch in 1 Samuel 13 and 8, if you could throw that up there for us. In 1 Samuel 13 and 8, we see this with Saul. We saw one of the reasons Saul was rejected is a couple of reasons, but it was two really. One was obedience, and the other, he stepped into somebody else's anointing. And when he stepped into somebody else's anointing, watch what the priest says to him. Watch in verse 8. This is when Saul was king. Watch what the Bible says. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But watch what happened. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. God help me. He was waiting for the man of God to get there so something can be done. But he took too long in Saul's time. And so he became impatient, and watch verse 9 says, so Saul said, Meaning, it tells you, watch how the Bible works. He explains, says he's impatient. He was waiting on something. It didn't happen. Now, the next verse says, so Saul said. Letting you know what's about to happen is because he was waiting and he got impatient. So Saul said, bring me a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. If you read scripture, it looks like no big deal. But that job of a burnt offering is specific to the priest. A priest was anointed to bring a burnt offering to God. So the Bible's letting you know that what Saul just did, he had a king's anointing, but he didn't have a priestly anointing. And so now he became impatient with God, and he says, I can do this. This is taking too long. I'm ready to go, God. I think I should be doing this. And many of us try to shift into something because we're impatient with our life. And God, I need to be doing this, and I'm 40. And you step out when God says, listen, God, the reason why it ain't happening because maybe you're not anointed and maybe you're not called right now. And we get impatient and try to step out in something that we're not even called to do. Watch what happens. God, I got an email from heaven right now. I just got a text. Stay with me. He just hit me in my DM right now, my spiritual DM. Watch this. See, this is why some people have multiple divorces. Because you're impatient. How many know when marriage happens, two people need to be anointed for each other? God, it just hit me right there. And when you say, God, I've been waiting on Boaz, or I've been waiting on Sheaz. I don't know if that made any sense right there. That might not have sounded good, but that's all right. I'm under the anointing. Come on, somebody. Amen. And your Boaz or your Sheaz don't show up. Come on. And you step out and you get some joker because you're waiting on God. You're not anointed to marry him. Come on. How many know God has some divine connection set for your life? Do not marry something because you're impatient with God and you step out and the reason it ain't going to work because you were never anointed to marry them. People are anointed to be married together. There are connections from heaven that are divine. And we get impatient. We saw this with Noah. Noah was supposed to wait. The Bible says Noah knew the flood was over when the dove came down. And how many of you know that if you read the Bible, that the Bible lets us know that a raven came before the dove ever came. And if you've been on that ark for so long, you're like, God, come on, I need to get off this boat. I'm up here with stinky animals. There's no, you know, there's no toilet system. I got my family. That's just a bad combination. I mean, that's like doing life in prison. You follow me? You just locked on this ark, and you're like, God, come on, when is this thing going to end? And the Bible says a raven came. And the raven would be a signal to just let everything down. It's time to come out. And how many know if he would, because a raven looks just like a dove. They both fly. They got a beak. They got eyes. They got feet. Come on, somebody. And sometimes people can't tell the difference between a raven and a dove. And some of us are hooking up with some ugly ravens instead of waiting on a dove because you're getting desperate for a little Sheaz. Come on, somebody. Or you getting desperate for a little Boaz. You better keep waiting for the dove to come and let these ravens keep on flying around because ravens are buzzards and meat eaters. And you keep getting somebody that keeps sleeping with you and kicking you to the curb. It's because you got a meat eater. Baby, but wait on the dove. Wait on your anointed one. Wait on your Boaz. Wait on your Sheaz. Don't get desperate because God ain't showing up on your time. He's anointed you and he's got a divine connection coming. Slap your neighbor. Say, I'm waiting on mine. I'm waiting on mine. Some of y'all married these buzzards. Y'all stuck needing counseling. Got these little ravens looking all jerky and stuff. You know, ain't nobody married. Got jokers you marrying. The devil will, listen to him very carefully. I'll preach this later this year, the singles thing. The devil will always bring you a raven before God brings you your dove. Because he knows desperate people will fall for desperate things in desperate times. If you're not patient with God. And this is what Saul did. Put my scripture back up. This is what Saul did. Saul in verse 8, I think I was in. So Saul said, he was impatient. So Saul said, you were impatient, so you said I do. Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. He should have never, he was not anointed to do this. And he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10, the prophet shows up. And he says to him, he says, now it happened. As soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, watch what happened. All he had to do was just wait a little longer. As soon as you fall for the okey-doke, God says, I was right here. This is exactly how the devil plays us. We get impatient, and I realize the more itch you have, the closer you probably are, and you just got to hang in there, because as soon as he did it, the Bible, watch what it says, as soon as he had finished. Look what it says. Now it just happened. As soon as he jacked up, here comes what God had for him. But he was impatient. He had finished presenting the burnt offering. That Samuel came, meaning the anointed thing came when he finished, after he took the raven. And I don't know how many of us have missed the anointed thing in our life. Right after you, amen. Then Samuel came. Yeah, pray for me. I was about to say something. Then Samuel came. Stop pushing me. Y'all trying to take me somewhere I'm trying not to go. And Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. Samuel said, there you are. Got excited. Next verse, please. Verse 11. He came to him, and Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, watch what he said, and you did not come within the days appointed. He's like, you weren't here. And that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash. Verse 12, please. Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled to do something I'm not anointed to do. I felt compelled to walk in somebody else's anointing. He says, therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. Verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You've jacked up. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord, watch what he says, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. He says, watch what he says, he would have. Verse 14, watch what happens. It's such a sad thing. But now your kingdom shall not continue. He says, now your anointing is lifting because you're trying to walk in somebody else's anointing. It's imperative that you hear me right now. Just because you see things on social media and people are doing things, you better realize they're anointed to do some of those things. Do not say, it's easy, I'm finna do it, everybody's doing it. That's the wrong thing for you to do. You will destroy your life trying to walk in anointings. I've seen, and this is why you got to understand, no anointing comes from a man. Because a man will try to push you out. And you're not anointed for what they're trying to get you to do. That's why you got to sit under true anointing, because true anointing recognizes true anointing. I said it before, in the world, they say game recognize game. Come on, but anointing recognize anointing. Because I remember I was at the gym. Watch this right here. Just not too long ago, I was at the gym, and I got in my flesh almost for a minute, and I was benching that day. And when I start, you know, I just warm up with an empty bar, just warm up a little bit. It just so happened, and I hate when it happens, but it just so happened a guy was doing it at the same time. And so you got two people benching, and you know, I'm at the gym. I'm trying to act like I don't see him. But you know somebody's benching right next to you. And so I start, and when I put my first 45 plate on, he put two on. I'm fine with that. But I could feel my flesh. The gym just happened to be a little bit crowded. You understand what I'm saying? And I this is no joke. We were at the same time. So I was like, okay, let him do his rep. I'm going to do my rep, because this is weird. We're right next to each other. So I put on my, he's doing this too. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'll be there in a minute. I can do that. Come on. I think that's 225. I'm good with that. So my next one was 45 and a 35. I'm getting going. So he now is at a 45, 245, and a 35. And I'm trying in my head. I realize he's bigger than me. I'm just in my body's like, come on, push it a little bit. So I get to my 35. Now I got my 245s. This joker got two 45s, another 45, and a 25. He's a big guy. And so I'm like, okay, I got my 245s. This is what he was warming up with. You understand what I'm saying? I'm feeling a little some way right now. That's why I like to go when it's the skinny people in me. You understand what I'm saying? I got you, baby. Come on. I make it. So I was like, okay. So now my next, I did my 225. I put my my 45s on there. And when I'm at home, Lady Brian, to tell you, I have a little weight thing at home. When I'm at home, my kids can spot me. And so I can go 255. That's 225s or 25s on the side. And so I was like, should I do this? I was itching, elder. I was like, I got this. I can do this at home. And man, I was like, I'm going to do this. But normally I have a spot, because it goes sideways, it can go sideways. And I'll be like, you know, I call Lady Brian and my kids, come spot me real quick. And they're like, Dad. I'm like, come on, don't I don't want to die up in here. Come on. And I was like, I do this at home 5 times. And they helped me on that 4. I got this right now. Because I was feeling like, this dude is pushing up stuff. You know, he's doing all this stuff when he's done. I'm like, brother. You know, and so I was really tempted. And here's what I did. I put them on. I was like, I got this. And I knew I could do it. I know I can, but I just was uncomfortable because if my arms gave out or something, it was just going to be bad. And I knew I could do it because I've done it at home with, you know, with them there, but I've done it by myself, and I was just feeling uncomfortable. And I sat down to do that joker, and the Holy Spirit said, you better get up. He sure did. You better stop. And it made it worse because then I was like, you know, I kind of did my shoulder like this, like I was hurting. I was like, let me, I pulled that 45 right back off that joker. And because how many know, I went like my shoulder was hurting. I did. I was embarrassed. Because I was like, I got this. Holy Spirit said, get up. And when the Holy Spirit said, I was like, you know what, I fool around, drop this thing. And what I realized is I was trying to do something that I know I could do it, but I probably should not have been doing it. Because if I'm trying to get under his weight, that'll kill me right there. Because you've got to understand, people who have an anointing, that carries a weight on their life. Different, everything we have, for example, preaching and teaching, there is a weight that is unbelievable. And the only reason people can handle the weight is not because of them or their flesh. The anointing allows you to handle the pressure and the weight and being in the lights, whether it's a 20,000 church or a 300-member church. And if you get under the weight, it'll kill you. And if I would have kept trying to be under his anointing, that would have killed me and taken me out. And it shouldn't have, but I was foolish enough to try someone else's anointing. And that's what I'm trying to tell someone today. Do not walk under someone else's anointing. It will kill you. It will take you out. It will set you back years. You better trust God for your own anointing and begin to seek him and say, what am I called to do? Just because it looks good. Just because it looks like I want to be there. If you're not there, don't be there. That weight will kill you, bankrupt you, and put you in a bad place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Okay, sit down. I got to go. I got to give you this last one, and I'm done. Here it is. I got to go. I'm a little bit behind. I want to be done. I'm done. This is it. I'll give you the next one next week. I'm just getting this last one, media. My third point is understanding this. And this is my last point. I'm done. Is the anointing has a certain ingredients. Everybody wants the anointing, but I need you to understand how your anointing grows. Watch the ingredients. Give me my third point, is understand the anointing grows in bitter moments. The anointing grows, and part of the anointing on your life is your bitter moments in life. Watch the ingredients real quick. Let me show you the ingredients that Moses had to gather. The first ingredients, put that up there, my first ingredients, was he told him 500 shekels of myrrh. If you watch what Moses had to go get, there was a specific ingredient to the anointing. This is how the anointing is made. It said 500 shekels of myrrh. That simply means that in the anointing that everybody wants, that made it holy, that gives you what you need, the part of the anointing is when you have bad moments in your life. When you go through hell, it is building you for a greater anointing. Everybody wants the anointing because I just told you what it does. But when you have the anointing, part of it is when you go through tough times. When you go, watch the ingredients right here. The ingredients is that when you have the anointing, there are going to be moments in your life where you will cry, you will hurt, you will go through things. But the Bible says all things work together for your good. And God is not causing the bitter moments. But when the bitter moments come, he says, I'm going to use that. And I'm going to give you a greater anointing on your life. I'm going to give you a greater power in your life. Because what you've got to understand is when you go through hell in your life, stay with me, when you come out of that thing, you now have the ability to speak to that thing. See, here's how it works. Because I thought, God, that when you understand myrrh is bitter. Myrrh is sour. It's not good. And God says, everybody wants the anointing. But in order for the anointing to come, You got to understand there are some rough times and some rough days and hours that you'll go through in life. And God says, it's not that I caused them, but when you go through them, I use them to make your anointing stronger than it's ever been before. Nobody wants that, but everybody wants a strong anointing. Everybody wants that Peter anointing. When you walk and your shadow hits them, they're healed. But you don't get that type of strong anointing without going through nothing. There are some bitter seasons we've got to go through. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sitting there. The Bible said he sweat drops of blood. He was so stressed and anguished, the blood drops came out of him. God was building his anointing. He says, son, you got to deal with this because you're getting ready to go to Calvary. You're getting ready to get nails in your hand. And Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. He didn't want to do it, but what God was doing, he was building the anointing so he can take on Calvary. And many of us don't want to go through anything. Church, I told this before. There's times I used to deal with anxiety and panic attacks. And I remember my mother sitting right here, and I remember, she'll tell you, I remember I was at home with Lady Brian, and this is when we were shacking, and you know, we weren't living right. Come on, somebody. And I was having this panic attack, and it wasn't the it was something so grievous. I was breathing. My mind was going crazy. And I remember I told her, I said, Lady Brian said, what's wrong? I said, if I close my eyes, I feel like I'm going to die. I can't. I said, my mind was going. I couldn't control it. I called my dad. I called my mom. They were on the phone. I said, listen, I'm having one of them things again. I said, this is bad. I said, I feel like I'm going to die. I was in fear. I was in panic. I said, listen, if I close my eyes, I'm going to die. And my dad said, son, I'm praying. And the next thing I know, I don't know where my mom was. She was at the door. Come on. She got there a little bit later. And I used to deal with these things from time to time. And they began to pray. And all of a sudden, you know, when people pray, that stuff breaks. Come on, somebody. That stuff breaks. But what I had to do was finally get victory over it for myself. And when I got victory over this thing, here's why I bring it up, because now I can speak to that thing. That bitter moment gave me an anointing that if I ever see it come in my house, I got an anointing for it. If it ever try to raise up on one of my children, I've already defeated it. I already been through hell with that thing. Now I'm anointed to tell you to get the hell out of my house. I have a specific anointing to speak to what I've been through. That hell I went through, I'm anointed to deal with it now. That bitter season you've been through, you anointed to speak to it. You're anointed to deal with cancer if you defeated cancer. You're anointed to help divorce people if you've been through a divorce. Whatever you've been through, you're anointed to speak to. And this is why you got to realize God will take your rough season and bring you into a better place. Somebody shout hallelujah. Everybody wants the anointing, but don't nobody want nights like I went through that day. Nobody wants. I wish that not upon my worst enemy. The feel I had, the torment I was in, I don't wish that on my enemy. But when God gave me the victory, it can't even raise up again because I'm anointed to deal with it. And it's not that God caused it. However that door opened to it, God let me get victory over it. But during that bitter moment, my anointing is stronger than it's ever been before. And I don't know what you've been through, but whatever that bitter season is, you're anointed to speak to it. I don't care what it is, because part of the anointing is bitterness. But don't nobody want that. But you can't get a strong anointing without a rough season. Don't give me somebody that ain't been through nothing. You may have an anointing, but you may not have the anointing I need on my life. I need somebody that's been through some stuff. When I got kicked out of the church, I told that story. I was hurt and wounded, crying, the grown man crying. How another grown man let another grown man let him cry? Because of spiritual connection, I was wounded. And God says, now you're anointed to deal with that. You're anointed to deal with church hurt. My anointing grew in bitter seasons. But here's where I got to let you go. I'm done right here. Because if you watch the ingredients, we've always heard where the Bible, I don't have time to turn there, but it talks about in Isaiah 61:7, don't put it up, but in 61, it talks about how God gives you double. He'll give you double honor. Simply meaning, I don't have time. I got to get you out of here. The Bible lets us know in Isaiah 61, when people say God give you double for your trouble, that's from Isaiah 61:7. Because they went through stuff, and God says, now I'm going to give you double honor for what you went through. And when I see that, and I look at this, nobody wants the bitter moments, but God said, with every bitter moment, he said, that's not all the ingredients, though. He said, watch the rest of the ingredients. That's just part of it. That's 500 shekels. Give me my next ingredients real quick, please. Because the next ingredient said 250 shekels of cinnamon. That's sweet. But God, that still doesn't add up to my 500 bitter moments. I'm 250 off right there. But then the ingredients continues on, and the Bible said, it said, give me my next one. And it said 250 sweet-smelling cinnamon. God says, now I've given you 500 bitter moments. But for every bitter season, I'm going to give you equal amount of good season. But that's not my God. My God says, I'm not going to let you have the same amount that the devil had. His next ingredient said, then I'm going to give you 500 shekels of cassia, which is a sweet, God help me right here. And if I ever do the math right now of the anointing, that means God gave me double for my trouble. I may have went through hell for this anointing, but God's giving me recompense, meaning I'm paying you back. For all the hell you went through, I'm going to give you double glory with your anointing. I'm going to give you back everything the devil has stolen. And I came to tell somebody, in 2019, I don't know what your bitter moments were, but in 2020, I'm getting double my joy for all the hell I went through last year, all the pain I went through. God is not equal to the devil. He's going to give me overflow. And I came to tell somebody, this is what our year is going to look like. We're going to have better moments than we are going to have bad moments, because when the groundbreaking anointing is on your life, you get double for your trouble. And if the devil's been messing with you, get ready. Get ready, get ready. Like Bishop Jakes would say, get ready for your double. Get ready for your double. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for your double, because that's bringing joy back. That's double money back. That's double happiness back. That's double blessed marriage back. That is double peace back, because God is going to give you double with the anointing. Stand on your feet. I got to raise up. I got to go. I'm done. It does come with bitter moments to make you strong. But when you understand the anointing, every time the devil hits me, I may go through a season in the midnight hour. But when that joy comes, I'm getting double.